Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
That last note just always makes me smile. I don't know why. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Mary. I am your host for tonight. I'm here with my co-host and my co-star, Jean Albertson. Hi, Jean.
Hey, hi. How you doing, Mary?
Good. I know you always have a little bit of a challenge. You either have to choose between your beloved Bob, the dog, maybe licking your microphone, or you have to go out into a more secluded place. Maybe that's what we should do. Some night when we don't have another guest, we'll have to talk about the challenges of Jean getting on the podcast. I think that would make a cool discussion.
But sure.
Tonight.
One day.
Tonight we do have a guest, and it is Angie Williams. She is a prophetess, a songstress, an evangelist. She's an author and a global prayer leader. Angie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy and excited to be here, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, it wouldn't be unique if we didn't. I mean, you've kind of been along with us on the ride in one way or another for these 2 whole years we've been in existence. I mean, but you just kind of have been a part of us from the beginning, and we're just delighted to be able to help share your ministry and share your story.
Thank you.
I know that
it's been awesome.
You're welcome. You're currently the pastor of New Hope Church of the Living God of Orlando, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And you're the CEO of Morning Glory Fresh Fire Prayer Line Ministry. I just loved saying that. Just sounds like, I don't know, it reminds me of a beautiful flower blooming, and the prayer, you know, the fresh fire makes me think of the phoenix rising. I can only imagine, you know, you've got women from around the world every week gathering with you, right?
That is absolutely correct. Yes. Yes.
Before I turn this over to Jean, would you tell us a little bit about how that started for you?
Okay, sure. Yes. Oh, absolutely. About 15 years ago, I had an opportunity to be invited to another prayer ministry. And so it was just such an awesome experience. And the young lady that spearheaded the prayer ministry at that time, she lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and she had women that would call in, you know, conference calls, and they would call in from different states. And so I was invited, as indicated, and I was just so blessed. I was really, really blessed by this young lady's ministry. And what happened is, at the time, I was working for an employer in which I had the opportunity to be able to attend and be a part of this prayer ministry based upon, you know, my schedule, my work schedule. However, I changed employers, my work schedule changed, and so therefore I was not able to participate in this prayer ministry in which I truly enjoyed. I mean, the prayer host was phenomenal. She was awesome. And all these ladies just came together, and we would just intercede and pray for our nation and pray for other women. And just pray for each other. And it was just so uplifting and so inspiring. And I was just strengthened and I was energized and motivated. And so I was very saddened when I, you know, not when I changed over to employers, however, but when I was not able to no longer be a part of this phenomenal prayer ministry. So then I was just praying, you know, so I was just, you know, praying about it. And okay, yes, I was praying, okay. And the Lord just, it just, you know, came to me, why don't you start your own prayer ministry? And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do this, you know. And so, yes.
Jump
and
build your
wings on the idea.
Yeah.
I was excited at the idea of, you know, being a part of a prayer ministry, but I didn't really want to orchestrate it. But, you know, yes. So I decided, you know, and it was like, it was sticking with me, you know, it just wouldn't go away. And I'm like, okay, Lord, if this is something that you desire for me to do, then if you can just tell me what to do, how to do it, and put the pieces of the puzzle together, and then I'll go for it. So this is how Morning Glory prayer ministry was birthed. It was only about, at that time, three women. It was three women, myself and two other ladies. And at that time when we started praying 6:30 in the morning, and for only 3 days, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we just stuck with it. And then, you know, it began to grow, you know, as women were being spiritually fed and inspired and motivated and encouraged and stimulated and energized and uplifted. And they was just, you know, they began to reach out to other women and invite other women to come. And this is how we began to expand and begin to grow.
Nice.
Okay. So how many are in your group now?
So now, at that time it was three. So about a max now, about 25 women that come together 6:30 in the morning. And, yeah, and we just come together and we just pray. So about 25 now, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. in the morning.
You just do this individually at home, or do you do it over the telephone, or?
Okay, over the telephone, yes, as like what we're doing. Well, you're
like
a little bit
call.
Different. But a conference, yes, like a conference call.
Okay.
So we provide a toll-free number, a free conference call number, and then the ladies will dial into that number and enter the code, and they will be automatically connected into the prayer line.
Very nice.
So if somebody wanted to participate in that, would they get the information from your website?
They can get it from my website, or actually they can email me, and I'll be more than happy to directly provide that information to them at A.W. Angie Williams. So it's AW5077@gmail.com, or they can log on to my Facebook page, okay, Angie Williams, the beautiful young lady in the beautiful pink that Jennifer cut. She took that photo of me that's posted on Facebook, and I got to tell her, she did a phenomenal job. I got so many your compliments based upon that photo. But, yes, so, again, the email address, aw5077@gmail.com. They can reach out to me directly. I'll be more than happy to provide that information to them. Or they can
I'm attaching
Facebook,
this to your Facebook
page
show
well.
So people can find it. Good, good.
Yes.
I'm attaching it to your show.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thank you.
Well, and I would like to say, I just, as you were describing, saying your email address, aw5077@gmail.com, is also available on your website, prophetessangie.com.
Yes. Okay, prophetessangie.com. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Nice.
However, I think I'm sorry to interject. I think on my web page, I'm going to have to update that number there, because with the conference, you know, number of the company that we use for the conference call, periodically they may switch up that conference number, so we will need to update it. So in the interim, they can reach out to me via Facebook or also email, which is no problem at all. I'll be happy to make the connection.
Awesome.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, Jean, did you have any questions that you wanted to ask Angie?
Well, it's such a important mission that you're on as far as helping people understand the idea of the second chance. I think a lot of folks really need that message. I know I'm one that has benefited from understanding that. And I noticed that you've written a book entitled Second Chance about that. And I was hoping you might tell us a little bit about it. I mean, what was your motivation for writing the book? And I do remember you when I was looking at your information and your video, you talked about the 11 life changing challenges. You know, maybe if you could just touch on a little bit of that, I'd sure be appreciative.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. That book was actually birthed during a very, very difficult time in my life. It was in the time in which I was transitioning, the time of really transition, and I was working for an employer, and then things, you know, kind of went downhill, and to be transparent with that. And so I was like in a dark place, in a place of depression, really, to be honest with you. And so it was during that time, in that dark place, where the light began to shine. And one day I was just sitting home and just meditating pretty much and trying to think of where's my life going, you know, and what direction pretty much am I headed in? What do I want to do? What am I supposed to be, you know, where am I going at this time in my life? And so it's like a bulb went off in that dark place. The light began to shine. There was an illumination of light. And really, I heard this voice. The Lord just spoke to me and said, you know what? It's not the end of the world. You know, things are not going the way you desire for them to go. Things happen. You can just start all over again. And I'm the God of a second chance, you know? You know, so that's when that book came to me. Now, let me just put this out there. I had never written a book. I didn't know what steps it would take to write a book. I just heard this boy said, you know, I love you. You can start all over again. I'm the God of a second chance. I can restore you.
Oh, I love
I'll
it.
Heal you. Yes, yes.
Awesome.
Yes. And so that's when I'm like, okay, Lord, I know this voice, so I just need for you to direct me. Tell me what to do. And it was at that time he said, well, just get some paper and start writing. And I was just jotting down all these thoughts that was coming to my, you know, that was flowing, you know, flowing through my head here. And I just start writing and writing and writing. And then just to make a long story short, I just start meeting awesome people. You know, people, this a school teacher who just, I happen to be volunteering, okay, at this nonprofit organization. And there was a lady there who was a school teacher. And it was during a Christmas festival. And there was a Christmas luncheon that the organization actually held. And the name of the organization was the Holy Land Experience. So, therefore, we were sitting at the table. We happened to just end up sitting at this table together, and we began to converse and begin to talk. And so at the end of the day, she was a school teacher, and I was telling her what I was in the midst of. I was in the midst of writing this book. And she was like, well, I'm a retired school teacher, so therefore I can edit your book. I'm like, okay, it's like really, you know, there was a puzzle and there was a lot of missing pieces, and the Lord just started bringing the pieces of the puzzle into play.
Yes.
And they just start falling into place. And that's how it began to happen. I was just meeting people that were, you know, here and there, I said, okay, I will help you with this. I will help you with that. And it all just came together. So I knew this was something, okay, special that the Lord was really having me to, you know, to birth, to do. I knew this was something that God himself, you know, had, we call it ordained or was leading me to do. Because I had no idea. I'm going to be honest. I had no clue. I had no clue. And this lady that I met who was a school teacher, she also, beautiful young lady that I still, you know, actually converse with today. And she provided me all these books on how to write. See how everything was falling into place. She just provided all the tools.
I wish you could see me. I'm sitting here. I am sitting here nodding my head like I hear you. I feel you. I totally get it, because anybody who's had this kind of serendipity in their life, they know that there's God's hand right there guiding everything.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And it was so encouraging and motivating to me to continue. Because as you indicated, as the Lord began to, his hand began to guide me, and he began to introduce me to people, you know, that would be a part of, you know, bringing this all together, it was just so fulfilling for me. It was so fulfilling. I was just so energized to you know, to be able to, and honored that he chose me to write this book. Because as I said before, it was hard when, you know, when things begin to kind of go downhill, and the time when I was just, you know, wanting to give up, really, you know. Many times people look on the outside of an individual, but they have no idea that some of the things that they struggle with on the inside, or those things that are hidden that we don't expose to the world, and that goes on behind the scene. But it's so great to have a loving father, you know, that's there when you're down to pick you up and to motivate you and to encourage you and to uplift you. So when I spoke about me and my ministry being one that inspires, well, Father, the Heavenly Father inspired me. So I take that energy to also give back to inspire others. And I just want everybody in the world to know, you know, you can start over. You know, sometimes you come to an end of the road, and we don't understand that there's another, you know, path that can lead to something greater, you know, if you just don't give up. And so the Lord said, you know, and actually, even though the book says a second chance, the Lord's the God of a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance, a sixth chance, you know. So, yes, as long as we have life in our body, you know, there's we can always pick ourselves up and press forward to the better, because I always just believe better days are ahead. So,
absolutely. Well, you know,
yeah,
I think
it's
that
so important.
So important.
It's just so important to remember that. Yeah. I'm going to take a real quick break, and when we come back, Gene's going to remember, or he'll continue while I'm interrupting. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of the same old, same old? Are you sick of having to switch from station to station to find something worth listening to? Well, honey, I've got the answer. AstronetRadio.com is the new kid on the block, and we're filling our slate with original music, entertainment reviews, sex talk, comedy, and so much more. So set your devices to stream AstronetRadio.com and never look back. We play what we want so you can hear what you want. AstronetRadio.com, serving East Texas and the world.
Back. Those commercials are short, but they're entertaining. I'm your host, Mary Brotherton. I'm here with Gene Albertson, my host, and Angie Williams, who is astounding us with words of wisdom. If anybody would like to call in tonight from anywhere in the world, our number is, I had to stop and think what the number was, 516-417. Nope. 516-418-5651. If you'd like to speak with our prophetess and songstress and evangelist, give us a call. Gene, what were you going to say before I so rudely interrupted you? Gene, did I lose you?
Yeah, all right. So sorry. I have technical issues as well. But no, I didn't feel interrupted at all. It's so fascinating that I have to say that I've not too far back kind of experienced what you're describing, the reaching a point where there's just nowhere to go. There is no
yes.
No answers, and then all of a sudden, and you get that light, and then you see the light, you get the light,
yes.
The light starts coming
yes.
out of you, and
yes.
then all of a sudden, the people around you, they see it, and their light starts shining in
yes.
on you, and it's just like you're saying, it just
yeah.
builds and builds, and it
yes.
just, it's amazing, just amazing.
Yes.
I have to tell you, my personal story is I didn't know about that light for a lot of years. I knew it was there, but I didn't understand it. And I remember back when I was in Bible school, and I was so proud about shining it, and then I just never really understood it until kind of recently. And it's just, it's like a new toy, you know, almost.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yes. Awesome.
So I see what you're saying. It just, the help just comes to
mm-hmm.
you.
Yes.
That's awesome. So how do you feel like then with at that point you turned around and started feeling compelled to share your message further and further out, and can you tell me about that, how that built up as time went on?
Oh yes. So once the project was finished, I was so excited, and because of the change that was made in my life, I just felt compelled, okay, to use
mm-hmm.
my experience, because I know that I was not the only one going through dark, you know, going through this, you know, experience and low moment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know there were other people out there who was basically going through maybe something similar to what I was going through, or maybe worse. So I was
mm-hmm.
compelled to be like, okay, but then you have those individuals that who does give up, you know? They don't
yeah.
see the light, because everybody don't come into that light or really see that light. You have some people just really just completely give up. One of my callings was to reach as many people out there as I can through this tool, through this diary, this book, to let them know, okay, and to encourage them to not give up. Better days are ahead. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. And
that's
so
true.
I wanted them to understand, you know, again, it's not over. It's not over. As long as you're still breathing, and as long as there's a dawning of a new day bring on new experiences. Every day bring on something new, okay? So I felt as though it was my responsibility, because of how the Lord changed my life, okay? I wanted him to use me as an instrument, use me as a tool, use me as a conduit, use me as a vessel, to be able to change somebody else's life, to transform them through my experiences, by me becoming that overcomer because of the things I have overcome. I am a living person here, okay, or testimony, okay, proof that, you know what, things can change for the better. Don't give up. God can turn it around. God can turn it around, you know? So.
Well, and I think what you hit on there, to me, I'm finding that the word faith comes to mind, because
mm-hmm.
no matter how dismal it might seem at the moment,
mm-hmm.
if you can just
mm-hmm.
muster a little bit of faith,
that's
it kind
right.
of opens,
that's good.
Opened your eyes. Get better. It can. It's going to.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. That is correct. Yes. Yes.
Excellent.
And a lot of times, and when a person is down, they just need somebody who can just help lift them up. You know, they just need that one, that one word, that one word of encouragement. Sometimes it only takes one word or a smile or something to encourage an individual, to encourage someone. Or I would like to put it like this, to give them that hope, you know, to give them that hope or to restore that hope. Yes.
Restore, yes, that's a good word.
Restore, most definitely. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So you're not too far on the tail end of your last women's summit. How did that go?
Yes. Oh, I love that we were able to host it before this coronavirus broke out. It was very successful. We did have a nice attendance, and from what I can see in my observation and also from the feedback that we received, I mean, the women was tremendously blessed, and I knew they were because they were reaching out to me and asking about the next year, trying to prepare for 2021 because they were so excited and so blessed. Yes, and so motivated and uplifted and encouraged and enjoyed it so much, to God be the glory, that they are very excited about next year. And then I have a lot of women that pretty much had come to me who wants to volunteer. So everything went. Yes, it was very exciting.
Awesome.
And just the women fellowship and the women coming together, you know, from various states and all over the place. It was just an awesome, phenomenal thing. And I want to also give a shout out and say thank you to Be Unique, because Jennifer and I forgot who came along with her.
I think Lynn,
yes. Jennifer and Lynn did an awesome, phenomenal job. And I truly appreciate Be Unique supporting this women's event. So thank you so very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's always a pleasure. And I do miss out on a lot of the Orlando-based things. And it's just so amazing. Sometimes Jennifer, you know, if there's anything anywhere, she doesn't hesitate to come over to my county. And she's just doing whatever she has to do to help other people. And I just adore her. I really do.
Me too. Yes.
Me too. She's amazing. Amazing.
Oh, definitely. I do. I love her. I always tell her, you know, she had some, her and Lynn, they were just so patient because there were some technical difficulties. But I'm telling you, they would not give up. And we prayed, and Jennifer stopped us, and she said, wait a minute, we got to pray. And we all came together. Yes, all those who were going to be interviewed, and we held hands, and we prayed, and all of a sudden that thing stopped working. Whatever she was doing there, yes, it came together. And it was,
He told me that there were technical issues. And so that you guys all got together and prayed over it, and everything worked out just fine.
And it's
not
working out.
I think we should start. We should just call this the official Jennifer East Admiration Society.
Sounds good to me. Yes, and Lynn was wonderful as well. Thank you. I like the finished product, and we posted it on Facebook, and we shared it there, you know, so that others can view it. And so we did get positive feedback. So thank you so, so very much. And I also want to indicate my book. If any, you know, my book is the information concerning my book is out there on my Facebook page on Angie Williams and also on Amazon.
And the name of your book again?
Second Chance. Yes, your best is yet to come. Yes.
And I will say that you had said it's on Amazon.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Excellent.
Under Angie Williams, Angie Williams, second, if you Google Angie Williams, Second Chance, yes, it will populate. Yes.
very good. So,
And I just found it on your website, by the way.
It's on my website, too. Yes.
Yeah, yes, the link. ProphetessAngie.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I would kind of like to ask you to talk a little bit about for our listeners, your ministry is you talk about you minister to women essentially more. Can you what kind of specifically things that women are ministered to as opposed to men? I mean, they certainly have different perspectives in a lot of regards, and your experience in that.
And I think it's because women have a lot of the same issues, so we're more relatable to each other. Because I do minister to men as well. Well,
uh-huh.
However, yes, tend to draw closer to those that we can relate to. And
sure.
So,
sure.
Yes. So, and then I have a lot of room with girlfriends and a lot of friends, and when we converse and we find out that we have the same problems.
Nice.
A lot of the same issues. And so I think that's the reason my ministry is pretty much drawn towards women, because of, as I indicated, we experience a lot of the same issues. And so,
sure.
And I feel they were more relatable to each other. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
That was a good question, Jean. I like that one. But you know,
however,
men and women,
yeah, however, it's not confined to just women. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
But I do find that men and women not only experience the same situation from a different perspective, we also
exactly.
react
yes.
to them
yes.
and respond
yes.
to them differently.
Right.
You know, I don't know why we're wired that way. It's just the way it is.
Right.
I think we learn to a certain extent as well. You know, we
uh-huh.
have different expectations a lot of times with our feelings and emotions, that's way, and
uh-huh.
we express them and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
However, my book, you know, It's not geared towards women. It's actually
mm-hmm.
for everyone. Yes.
Well, I will be reading.
But we all have challenges. All of us have challenges, you know, and have experiences. So yes, for everyone.
Excellent.
Yeah, I can't imagine you turning, you know, closing your doors to anybody.
Oh. Oh no.
Never.
No, not at all.
In fact, I'm almost positive I've seen some gentlemen in your videos in the past.
I'm sorry, Mary. I'm sorry. I didn't.
I said I'm pretty sure I've seen some gentlemen in some of your videos of events that you've had.
Oh, yes. Most of the events were actually geared towards the women. However, our musicians were men.
Uh-huh.
So, and also, we had men in the audience, because I did not limit the audience to only women. So I did indicate that men were welcome to join us as well. So you are correct.
Mm-hmm.
So there were men that did join the fellowship.
Good.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Cool. I just was wondering if, you know, men are more likely to join than or less likely to join than not. I just, it's something I'm wondering about.
I think the men that followed, that did come, most of them
mm-hmm.
kind of come along with their wives.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, they were there. Yeah, they were there to support. You know, their spouses.
And
so.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Especially because
sure.
you have
yes.
people travel from all over
yes.
to your
right.
event. They're not just local. They're from all around the world, or at least all around the country.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, I time for me to take another little commercial break. We'll be back in 37 seconds. And if anybody would like to call in, get your pencil and paper out. I'm going to give you the number if you'd like to call in and speak with our prophetess or with me or with our delightful co-host.
Yes.
Give us a call at 516-418-5651. And if for some reason you're calling from outside of the United States, our country code is 1. So dial your exit code, whatever that is. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio, it'll even tell you what that is. I think. Maybe not. Google it. But anyway, 516-418-5651. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And we're back. 37 seconds isn't long at all. if you want to call in, 516-418-5651. Gene, we should turn that into a tune. We should get your recorder out and turn that 516-418-5651 into some kind of jingle that makes people want to dial in.
All right.
Do you remember the old hee-haw show? They used to have one where it was like they would dial the number, then at the end they go. it was a song about you used to love me, but now you're gone, or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget what it was.
Gloom, despair, and agony.
Yes, that's the one. But we're not talking about gloom, despair, or agony. We're talking about positivity, hope, faith, transformation, and million chances, not just one chance or two chances or even five, but infinite chances.
Yes.
And I am sure in your ministry, Angie, you have seen some amazing transformations. Is there any of them that you might be able to tell us about?
Oh, yes, you're correct. I have seen so many transformations as far as even within the conference and also within my prayer ministry. The ladies, there were some women, because within my prayer ministry, I have women that kind of also pray. I'm not the focal point there because what my desire is to pretty much train, also equip, okay, those ladies so that, yes, to become leaders, okay? And then maybe they will be compelled to, which actually a lot of them were compelled, and they did start their own prayer ministry and their own prayer lines as well. So originally, when a lot of these women joined my prayer ministry, they were very, very timid. They were very shy, you know. They were very standoffish. And so I had the opportunity to train them, to encourage them, to motivate them, you know,
to mentor them.
You know, pretty much expand their wings, you know, to allow their gifts to come forth, you know. And so to God be the glory that the prayer ministry was able to inspire them and motivate them and encourage them to, you know, to step up and come forward. And now many of them, as I indicated, have already started their own prayer ministries, and now they're reaching more audience. Their audience is expanding. So our goal is to, not to stay in a bubble, but pretty much to expand and reach the world. And so I have had the opportunity to see them grow And I will always, you know, communicate to them and acknowledge their growth, because just being able to kind of take a little seat back and see where they started from until where they are now and see the growth, it's a great thing. And it just makes me so happy. And I know it makes the father happy because, again, they can take all the knowledge that they have learned and they're starting their own groups and they're expanding out. And it's such a beautiful thing. And in the conferences.
What was it Jean just said a few minutes ago? Your light shines and then it spreads.
Yes.
And it touches another light and it touches another light. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, everybody's aglow.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is glowing. That is correct. Yes.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. And now everything is illuminating, and it's a beautiful thing.
Sure. You know,
we need that illumination right now.
We do. We really, really, really do. But there's so many hurting people now. I mean, and I think what God allowed me to do, okay, over this 15-year span, okay, pretty much he prepared us for what is to come now, you know?
Yes.
Right.
Because by these ladies, you know, soaring, spreading their wings and soaring out there and starting their own women groups, now they can reach more people. We can reach more people and encourage more people when we're living right now in such a trying time, a very dark time. And so they can be that illuminating light to those who need it right now, really need it, because at the end of the day, we all need it.
Well, sure.
Anytime
you're walking in the dark, if you can't see and you see the light, a lot of times you're going to got to go toward it, you know, and see what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it provides a way of escape. Because right now, you know, there's so many people hurting and with the loss of job and, you know, jobs and the isolation, and we really need each other more now than ever, you know, really do. And all of us, we need that motivation. We need something to hold on to, you know, to encourage us that better days are ahead. And I really believe that better days are ahead. But in the meantime, if we just come together with that camaraderie, that continuity, and that unity, and hold up one another, undergird one another, uplift one another, encourage one another, and somehow be there for one another, we're all going to make it. Everything's going to be
all right. Absolutely.
We're going to be okay.
The light. Sharing the light. Even if we can't hug each other,
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty excited about it all, and I have to agree with what you said, that really watching this come together, everybody wants hope, and those that don't really see it are looking for the light, and they're looking and they're seeing the light, and so it's a process.
They may not even know that they're looking for it.
Exactly, they just see it, and it's a positive thing. It's like, oh wow, look. Just something as small as a smile, you know.
That's it. Absolutely. Oh. Yes. Yes. A smile, a word of of just encouragement, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can brighten up someone's day. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it's pretty exciting times, I believe, right now. We like you said, there's a lot of people struggling, but I think everybody... Yeah. I personally think everybody's got this light down there. No matter how deep it is, it can come out. It's there.
We were all born with that light.
Mm-hmm.
It might
dim a little bit still.
Yes. And there have been times that it dims a little bit and you don't know, you know, how am I going to see my way out of this? But we always find a way.
We do. We find a way.
I was at the post office today mailing the next issues of Be Unique. And what was it? Issue 16, the one with the elephant on the front. And a woman came in, and I realized I kind of came in on the tail end of her conversation. She came in behind me, and she kind of threw her packages down. She said, oh, it's always a struggle. And I said, no, it's always a blessing.
That's good.
And she looked at me, she said, well, no, for me, it's really a struggle to get here before the post office closes. That's what I meant. And I said, well, I understand that. But, if you keep telling yourself that it's a struggle, then it will be.
Right.
But if you say, if you say it's a blessing to get here on time, then take it as a blessing. Don't say it's a struggle.
And Mary, I agree with you. Because even though she saw it as a struggle, I would have, approached it, or I would have seen it the same way you saw it. Because even though she saw it as a struggle to get there, but the blessing is you made it before it closed.
You made it. It didn't close. You were here safely.
That's right.
You didn't get in a wreck.
You were here safely.
There are
That's
so
right.
many blessings, and I think a lot. I had a conversation with a friend today, and she was telling me how difficult a person was in her life. And she was, like we all are, because we are humans, she was saying, oh, I just don't know why this is so hard. I don't know why it's so difficult all the time. And I said, it doesn't have to be, because we can bless this other person. And
absolutely.
Even though this other person is totally, it's one of those little inconvenient things in life that the person is out of the life, but it's still a reminder is always there. And instead of saying, oh, I don't like thinking about this person because it just makes me so angry or makes me so sad, and I don't understand why this person is behaving this way, it's not for us to understand. So what we can do is say, I send you peace. I send you love.
Good.
And
that's good.
And asking God to bless you. And if we open ourselves up to receiving what we're giving out, it will come back to us. But the more we struggle and say, oh, it was so hard to get here by 5 o'clock, the harder it will be. But the more we say, oh, look, I made it. It's not even 5 o'clock yet, and I'm in the door. It's 4:59. Thank you for staying open for me. They're going to, people will actually stay open a little longer if you keep bringing positivity in. Even the post office.
Right.
I know they typically close at 5 o'clock on the dot. They lock the doors. But if they know that this one person comes in every day, I think she probably has an Etsy shop or something. I didn't meddle too much. I try not to. But you walk in and say, oh, hi, I'm so glad that I'm able to get here before 5 o'clock. Thank you. I appreciate you for being here. They will leave that door open an extra minute. If this is a daily thing, the post office knows that you have to come in there every day. And they know that you're going to be there every day at 4:59. They're not going to be so quick to lock that door if you make it fun for them. But if you walk in the door and go, oh, this was so hard. Nobody wants to hear that.
No, Mary, they're actually watching, have a watch on watching when they see you come, and they're like, oh, my God, I hope this minute.
Here she comes. Get the door quick.
Here she comes.
Shut the door.
Here she
shut
comes.
It quick fast.
But it's all, it's about perspective.
That's what I was thinking. You took the words right out of my mouth. That's what it is. It's the perspective, how they see it, how they approach it. Not be a pessimist, but be a optimist. One person, it can be raining, pouring outside, right? You have two people, and one person look at it and say, oh, my God, it's just raining. I'm tired of the rain. I hope it stopped raining. The other person look outside and say, oh, look, there's a rainbow. Isn't that beautiful?
Exactly.
Gene and I are both gardeners. So we look at the rain. I look at it from two perspectives. I go, oh, my sweet potatoes are enjoying this rain. My zinnias are eating this. Oh, look at my sunflowers. They're going to be so happy. Mm-hmm. And then the other perspective is, God, I don't have to go pull weeds because I needed a break today. But then there are days. Yesterday was a day that I really wanted to go outside. And actually, I was telling Jean before you joined up today that I don't mind working in the rain if it's a hot day, and I know that I need to get the work done. I'll go out there and I'll sweat for a couple of hours, and when it starts raining, instead of going, oh, now it's raining, I have to go inside, I'm like, hey, Lord, can we have a discussion about the lightning? And you just keep the lightning away, and I'll go in.
I know. Exactly. I understand. That's true. That is so true.
Well, I heard it said once that someone had mentioned that they compared it to some people feel the rain and some people get wet. And I think about that when I ride my bicycle in the rain. I love it, you know. But at the other times when I'd rather keep my hair dry and I'm getting cold and I wish I maybe hadn't got quite as wet at that moment, you know. So.
Right, that is correct. That's right. I agree with you, Dean. That's right.
Perspective.
It's all about perspective. I love it.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, you know, I'm going to get a little religious here, and I don't usually get religious. I try to stay more within the spirit and not, you know, talk too much doxology. But if you think about it, when Jesus was up there on that cross, his perspective was totally different from the people standing down on the ground
looking up
at him.
That's right. That's right. That is true.
In fact, I'm going to go a little farther than that and bring it to a little more human element. I was graced and honored more than 10 years ago to interview Della Reese. It was an interesting situation. I was working for a little newspaper, and my publisher said, would you like to go and interview Della Reese? I'm like, would I? So she set it up, and everything was ready to rock and roll. So she was staying at this big fancy schmancy hotel. I get up there and I tell them I have an appointment to see Della Reese. So they call and confirm that I'm the right person. So somebody comes down in this elevator that you have to have a key to get up and down. So she takes me up to the floor and knocks on the door. And from the other side of the door, you hear, who is it? Because you know Della Reese has a booming voice.
Yes, indeed.
And this was when I was just really starting out. I guess it might have been more than 10 years. Yeah, it had to be more than 10 years ago because I wasn't as confident then as I am today. And so I told her who I was, and she said, do we have an appointment? And then I hear another voice, even actually not as deep as hers, but it was a male voice saying, yes, dear, I told you. And she, behind that door, there's this argument going on between her and her husband, who is actually her manager, because I guess he must have been like my husband, whom I love dearly. But he sometimes thinks he has told me things, and he has not told me. He's just thought about it. So I'm guessing that happened with her. So she opens the door. She says, if you've got a camera, put it away. I am not ready to be photographed. I said, oh, okay. Can I still interview you? She said, of course you can. But I'm in my robe, honey. I was taking the day, you know, the morning off because I've got an event this afternoon. And I am not ready to receive visitors. I said, well, I could come back later if you want. And she said, nope, you're here. I'm here. To heck with it. So, and, you know, she was a minister in California. She had her own church out there.
Oh, really?
And so we started.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'm not one to typically gush over celebrities, but I gushed over her. And she looked at me and she goes, And I was like verbal vomit. It just came out of my mouth, you know, stuff. And I'm like, where did that come from? And she said, that was a statement. That wasn't a question. I thought you were here to interview me. She had hands on her hips. Now, she was 6'2 or 6'4, big woman.
Wow.
She had her hands on her hips.
Wow.
So, of course, made her look more imposing. So I put my hands on my hips, and I said, you're right. This is supposed to be an interview. But I'm going to tell you something. Anything that can be written about you, any question can be asked about you, it's already been done. You've been, you know, you're a celebrity, not just an entertainer. You've been a celebrity for decades. If I want to find out about you, I'll just Google you. I'll look you up online. And her mouth dropped open. And she said, so then why are you here? I said, can we just sit down, have a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, and have a conversation like two grown women? She says, well, my God, I guess we can. So we started talking.
Wow.
And the whole point of that conversation was to get to this. She made the comment that if you are down in the mud, that's your business. It's not my business. However, I will stand on the side of the mud bank. And if you're swimming in mud, I'll walk the whole river with you. And I'll be right here. The minute you say, Miss Della or Ms. Reese or whatever you want to call me, she said, you just reach out for me and I'll pull you out. She said, but I'm going to tell you something. If you try to pull me down into that mud with you, I'm going to kick you loose. And what I ended up doing, instead of doing a typical story about a celebrity who had come to town, I wrote 15 things I learned from Della Reese. It was one of the most amazing experiences in my life, because the two things that I learned that I still remember out of that list of 15 was, even if I am surprised or if my schedule has been adjusted by someone else, I can still be gracious. I don't need to be angry because circumstances aren't what I want them to be. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I remember was, every good interview ends with a hug.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was really a very fun thing to do. I think this, we're having an amazing time right now, I think.
Oh, I am. This is so much fun.
Well, and one of the things that just keeps coming back to me, that it's kind of everything we keep talking about, you use the term more than once, your best is yet to come. Can you tell me a little bit about that, Angie? Because I agree with you. It's so exciting.
I just believe, you know, when you're in a downward position, when you're down, the only way to go is go up.
Awesome.
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, therefore, and Mary talked about, I love her because she, I love Mary. I just adore you. I really do. I truly adore you. I love talking to you.
Mutual admiration,
okay.
My love.
Me too.
And the optimistic, you know, mindset. That's one that I believe. What a world, you know, that show used to come on. What a wonderful world this would be. What a great world this would be if everybody had an optimistic approach, because there's good in every situation. There's always something good that we can depict, or we can, you know, that's there in the midst of, you know, even calamity or in every situation. God said everything he made was good. There's always some good somewhere. You just have to find it. You have to search for it. You know, Gene was talking about that light, and you guys were talking about that dim light. You know, I was just thinking sometimes it's not like the person don't have the light. Maybe their bulb went out and somebody noticed the bulb is there. They just need to change it.
I love that.
Their bulb went out.
Such a good analogy.
You know,
their bulb went out and they need somebody to come along and change it.
And change it. It's there. You know, you just don't recognize it's out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you know, if you get used to something, like a thorn in your foot. Or a dim light. You know, a lot of lights today. I'm looking up at my ceiling fan. It has three lights on the ceiling fan. If one of them goes out, I might go, oh, I should get that. You know, I should get my husband to come in here and change because it's too tall for me. I'll do that tomorrow. He's busy. I'll ask him tomorrow. Well, tomorrow comes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And then another light goes out and my office is a little dimmer. And I deal with it and deal with it and deal with it. And then all of a sudden, my third light goes out and I'm in the dark. And now I've got an emergency on my hands. And we don't realize a lot of people don't want to ask for help because they don't want to appear needy.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't ask for help because they don't know that help is available.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't ask for help because they don't know that they need it. You know, if my lights go out, I don't need all three. I just need one. But when that one goes out, I'm in the dark.
Well, I think people a lot of times are scared too. They just are scared. They don't know what to do.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, guess what, folks?
Our time is up.
This has been wonderful.
Thank you guys so much.
We can continue talking. The show gives us like an extra 15 or 20 minutes, like a grace period, because I think they know sometimes the show is just too good to let go of. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play our last commercial. I should have played it 15 minutes ago, but I do need to do this so that if somebody is listening and they want to sponsor the show, actually, I don't have to do that. I can do it with my mouth. I'm a talker. I feel like I've done nothing but talk tonight. But if you want to sponsor this show, if you like what we've talked about, if you want to hear more of it, reach out to us on beunique.org or email me, Mary, at beunique.org and find out how cheap it is to sponsor the show, find out how reasonable it is, and I can give you the statistics of all 34 countries. Bear in mind, this show has only been on this channel since November of 2019. We're barely a half a year old on this show and already have more than almost three dozen countries listening to us. So the only difference between me doing this promo is you don't get to hear the little music, which is this kind of music right here. And you don't get to hear Colin's sweet voice. But I also want to tell everybody that next week we're going to have Elisa Kaler again. She comes on our show the last Thursday of every month, except November and December because of Thanksgiving and Christmas. But Elisa is our kind of our resident psychic. We don't always talk about psychic stuff. We don't always talk about spiritual stuff. But we do talk about spiritual stuff.
We talk a lot about faith. Faith and trust and things like that.
Faith and trust and going in the light and pausing during this, you know, just like what we've talked about tonight. You find, okay, woe is me, I have to wear a mask. Well, good Lord, you know, get over it. Put on the mask, make it colorful, absolutely. Make it pretty. I sat in the car. Right. My husband was doing something today, and I sat in the car waiting for him. And I pulled out my pen, and I took my mask off that I'd worn into the post office, and I drew a big gap-toothed smiley face on it. Because I think if I have to wear the mask, you guys have to see it. I should say you folks, because you guys is antiquated terms. I shouldn't say that anymore. But people will have to look at me and deal with it, because it's, my personality is going to shine through no matter what. In fact, I'm thinking I should probably go get some. I'm not much of a sequins and glitter girl, but I'm going to have to embellish my mask with something besides. It's just a little blue paper mask. I do have one that someone gave me that has Be Unique on it in blue sparkles, but I don't know where it is. Yeah. But anyway, I'm finished with my little commercial. I think Andrew likes to hear me talk, because I just go on and on and on, and I jump from subject to subject.
I do.
But I tell you, if
when you talk about fun stuff, you talk about fun.
Yeah,
stuff.
Right. That's right, Dean. That's right.
Yeah.
If anybody who's listening ever feels that you can't find the rainbow because the rain is too heavy, there are things that you can do, and there are places you can call. Several months ago, my own son, he wasn't suicidal, but he did call the suicide hotline, and he wrote an article about it in Be Unique. And he does suffer with undiagnosed bipolar syndrome, and he knows this. He's working on getting the diagnosis that he needs so that he can get the help that he needs. But at that point in time, he was just struggling to put one foot in front of the other. So he made the phone call, and then he went out on a jog that turned into like a 9-mile walk and run. And he called me and he goes, "Hey, Mom, just want to let you know I did a thing." I'm like, "Okay, what kind of thing?" So I just held the phone with suicide hotline and ran 9 miles, and now I'm lost. I don't know where I am. And I said, "Well, obviously you have your phone with you, so you could Google it." He goes, "Yeah, I could do that. I can just put in, put in the address to where I want to go, the house, go back to home." He said, "Mom, you're a genius." I said, "No, I'm just old and experienced." I think the way that he wrote his story was that he didn't want to call the suicide hotline because he was not standing there with a loaded gun. And he felt like if I call them, then I stop them from helping someone else who may be in worse shape than me. And this goes right back to what we were talking about earlier about being afraid to ask for help or being scared of the questions. He didn't want to, he knew he needed help, but he didn't know how to get the help, and he didn't want to take help from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of people, I'm not going to ask you to change my light bulb because maybe there's somebody else who's totally in the dark, that you could be helping them change all of their light bulbs instead of just my one that's dim. So I want to encourage everyone who's listening to definitely take care of yourself. Get your light bulbs changed.
That's right.
Get your oil in your car changed. Call the suicide hotline. And
That's right.
If you don't call the suicide hotline, call the Mary hotline. I will give you my cell number because it's all over Be Unique anyway. But somebody wants to talk to me, call 321-417-4309, and I will talk to you. Now, I may not talk to you immediately because I'm probably on another phone call. I may not talk to you if I don't recognize your number. I'll let it go to voicemail. If you do not leave me a voicemail, I will not just return your call. I don't look at my missed calls and go, "Oh, I've missed a call. I need to call them back." Leave me a voicemail and just say, Mary, I heard you on the podcast, and I really want to talk to you. I will take time wherever I am to speak with you. I am on the East Coast of the United States. That means I'm in the Eastern time zone. So don't be calling me at 4 o'clock my morning. I turn my phone off at night so that I can get a good night. And there again, this is something else that people need to understand. Set your own boundaries. You know, a lot of, and I speak from vast experience. Like I told my son, I'm old, I'm wise. Or maybe not so wise, but I'm old and I've had experience. If you do not set your own boundaries, nobody will know when they've stepped across them.
That's true.
Nobody
That's true.
Will know what your parameters are. So you can't blame them for stressing you out. All you can do is say, whoa, this isn't working for me. I'm not going to answer my phone after 9 o'clock at night unless I know who you are. And it's not that it's 10 o'clock now and I am going strong. I intend to finish this podcast and go clean up my kitchen. And I might read a book or I might do a load of laundry. I could be up till 2 o'clock in the morning. But that doesn't mean I'm going to answer my phone for strangers at 2 o'clock in the morning. If you want my attention, if you want my attention and you need to talk, text me at that same number, 321-414-4309. It's all about knowing your boundaries and giving people the rules of the game. If that doesn't work, email me. You know, go through the Be Unique website, BUNEKE.org. Leave us a contact. I'll get it. If it's so important that I can't answer your particular question right now, call the suicide hotline. They'll talk to you.
Absolutely. Amen.
Yep.
I can pretty much help anybody find the rainbow. And I may not, you know, if you've ever looked at a rainbow, sometimes you see what looks like 6 inches. Sometimes you see the entire boat from horizon to horizon. Some people have been fortunate to see an entire circular rainbow. Usually, I think they're out on a lake or something. I forget where I saw the phenomenon. But I've seen where there have been like 4 rainbows in the sky at one time. I haven't seen it.
Beautiful.
I've never seen 4. But the point is, even if all you can see is one pale little bit of one color of that rainbow, it's there. You know, sometimes I have to tell my husband, you know, he's less of a Pollyanna than I am. He's very, very realistic. And he'll tell me, oh, this and that and the other. And I'm like, yeah, but on the good side or on the bright side. And there are times he'll say, you know, I love and I hate that about you. You can always find the silver lining in anything. But sometimes I don't necessarily want that silver lining. I have to go through the worst case scenario. Which makes it really good because while he's shopping for hurricane supplies, I'm shopping for the fun hurricane supplies. You know, if our lights go out, we're gonna have fun too.
That's awesome.
Because as Gene always says, if you're not having fun, you're not doing it right.
That's great. That's great, Gene. That's good. That's good.
Well, you know, I think it kind of boils down to what I've always tried to understand, and I finally came to understand was I always learned that, you know, the Lord helps them what helps themselves. And I think that helping themselves thing is tied directly to just opening your eyes and looking around and seeing if there are any lights on the horizon that you might look toward and call them that hotline if you need to. That's all it is, just a little bit, because it'll just start pouring out at you. The answers
that's
will
right.
come if you ask.
And
that's good.
You know, even if you tell someone. I think I need to call the suicide hotline. Yeah. Then that person will pay a little more attention. And that person, I mean, in fact, my other son got upset that his brother called the suicide hotline instead of calling him. And he said, why didn't you call me? And he goes, well, I don't want to bother you. And that opened up a channel that they had allowed to close over the years. And his older brother said, it's not a bother. You're my brother. Kind of like he ain't heavy. He's my brother. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something we've lost touch with. Everybody's my brother. Everybody's my sister.
That's
you don't
right,
have
true.
To have been born into my family to be a part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And
right. Yep.
You know, I think we're all obligated as humans to watch out for each other.
Yes.
And do the best that we can to be there for them, but not enable them. As Delarie said, if you want to be in the mud, fine. If you want to hand out, I'm here to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had my share, and this came from not setting boundaries. I've had my share of extending myself out to people, and they pulled me down into the mud with them. Mm-hmm. And you have to know sometimes when enough is enough. You have to know when to say, this is not serving me. This is not serving you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's change the script. Let's change, you know, turn the page, find a story we like better, and let's rewrite it.
I love it. I love it.
Yep.
Awesome.
Because the best is yet to come.
Yes,
yay!
It is.
Yay, Jean.
Well, I will say, did you have something, Jean?
Well, I just was thinking that I think about that, the best is yet to come. It's just every day is just shows it. There was a time, and I had decided I had nothing more to do. I had done everything I'd ever intended to do, anything I ever wanted to do. There was nothing really more to go forward. I just had to sit here and be, and that was it. And it was dark, you know. But realizing that there is more, you know, there is something, and like, and then it grows. The more you find it, the more it grows. So
that's
exciting.
You know, there are two sides to that letting it be and just existing. If you're existing in a void and it starts to smother you, then you've got to get out of that shell. But that's something that I have a hard time doing, is not being a human doing, but being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always working, always striving, always thinking, oh, well, like I said earlier, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to go do the dishes, and I might do some laundry. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I probably will end up on the couch with the cat for the rest of the night, because that really is going to be good. he's my little thin cat. Yeah. And now, you know, there are things that we can do, but we also need that downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for you, your downtime, just like the seeds you plant, you planted yourself for a moment and you stayed there in the darkness until you started sprouting. And look at your life now, how full it is, and how joy, how much joy you bring to others. And you do, Jean. I have never met anybody who knows you and has had anything negative to say about you. Everybody that I've spoken to that, you know, knows Jean Albertson always says, what a great guy.
That's awesome.
Well, good.
And I'll tell you, Angie, Gene and I met working on the Green Gables. Well, he was already a volunteer at Green Gables. And when we went over there and did the video, that's how I met him. And I know that Marion told Jennifer, don't be stealing Gene away from me now. And So everybody, Gene's like the popular boy in school. Everybody wants to be around him.
Everybody wants to be around Gene. Okay.
It's not because he's the big man on campus. It's because he's the big heart on campus.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well,
I can tell.
Just so,
yes.
There's so many nice people, and I just everybody I meet is so nice, and I just want to return the favor, basically. It's amazing. Be unique, Green Gables, the whole thing. It's pretty amazing. Changed my life.
That's cool.
That's
very
great.
Cool.
That's great.
Well, it's now 10:20, and before the show shuts us off, I want to tell you about a little tradition Gene and I started a while back. I may have stolen the thunder already, but he'll figure it out. We like to end the show with our final words, a little expression of motivation. But first, before we do that, I want to make sure that our listeners know that they can find you on Facebook at Angie Williams, or they can go to the website prophetessangie.com, or they can email you at aw5077@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to end the show with something. It can be silly, it can be inspirational, it can be motivational, or it can be, y'all come see me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to start. Usually I finish up. I'm going to start tonight. So that gives you a minute to think about yours, Angie. And then it gives Gene a minute to decide if he wants to repeat what I've already stolen from him or if he wants to come up with a new one. But tonight, I just want to say, if you think your light bulb is dim, sometimes all you have to do is screw it. You know, light it up, check the light bulb, make sure it's, you know, I can't always be serious. I got to add a little goofiness in there. Whatever's wrong in your life, I mean, it's a good sentiment if you think about it. Just forget about it. You know, screw it's a colloquialism for it's not that important. Screw it. So don't think that you're alone, because you are far less alone than you think you are.
Yes.
Awesome.
If we're not in it right now, we've been there.
That's right.
So who's next, Gene or Angie?
Oh, I just want to say everybody has a light. You would just have to find that light. There is light in everyone. And I would like to encourage you not to give up. Never give up, because your best is yet to come. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish, and you will finish well.
I love it.
Well, and I think right along the same lines as we've all been talking about, my feeling of having fun is really, to me, it's the key, because that's when I can easier see the light. And when I'm having fun, sometimes I feel like I'm generating it a little bit easier. And people kind of, I think, maybe feel it a little bit easier because they're more drawn toward fun than they are maybe other things. So
that's
if you're not having fun, you know, you aren't doing it right. And I mean it with all my heart. There's always something positive, some way you can make it to where it's bearable and fun.
Exactly. You know, and that brings up another point. I thought these were going to be our final words, but I guess I'm not.
That's all right.
You know, if it's not fun, find something fun or funny in it, at least to get you through. One of my sons turned me on to this show. I don't remember the exact name of it, but it was something, Kimmy Schmidt, like the great Kimmy Schmidt or something like that. But it was about six, I think I've got the numbers right, six young women who had been all had been kidnapped, and they had been put into the show was actually a comedy, believe it or not, but they had been put into a underground cellar type home, and they were the wives. They were all wives. Oh, I know what it was. It was some preacher or something that had convinced them that the world had come to an end. The world had, you know, nuclear explosion, and these six women and this man were the only ones left alive, and they were going to repopulate the world. Mm-hmm. But they didn't like him. They didn't like the idea. They didn't know what to do, and there were certain tasks that there was very like Amish life. There was no electricity or anything, and there were things that they all had to do. And Kimmy's way of looking at it was, I can do anything for 10 seconds. And sometimes she would have to do things for an hour, but she would get herself through that drudgery 10 seconds at a time. I can do this for 10 seconds. I can do this for 10 seconds more. I can do it for 10 seconds more. And the next thing you know, her time is up, kind of like this show. But it's all about in the perspective. You know, find something that you can do for 10 seconds.
Enjoyable. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's only looking at that clock, waiting for 5 o'clock to come, you got to do what you got to do.
That
is so true. Even if it's just sing a song when nobody's looking, or wait till they're looking, whatever it is, just golly. In the darkest or anything, you can always do something fun. Singing. That even if you don't have anything to play or anything to do, you can always sing.
You remember the Disney Snow White, the old time Disney Snow White with the little first they
Whistle
had a little song that they sang, Whistle While You Work. And and it's just such a fun little song. And Jiminy Cricket also had a Whistle While You Work type song, I think.
Mm-hmm. He sure did. He did. I remember that.
It's been something very similar. But, you know, it's true. Music will get you through anything. And you
it's soothing.
Make your own. Yes. And
well,
my husband will tell you.
Uh-huh.
Curtis will tell you, if I'm having a really good day, I'm humming. And for a while after my mom died, I didn't hum. I just stopped humming. Didn't even know it. And one day he came in and goes, "You're humming. That's a good sign." I said, "What do you mean?"
Nice.
I pay attention to it. "You haven't hummed in several years since your mom died." He said, "I'm glad to hear you humming." I'm like, okay. I'll keep on doing it. Anybody can.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even have to be a song. It can just be humming. It's a soothing noise, like a cat's purr. You know?
Mm-hmm.
A cat's purr, and it's a very soothing sound.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I do my best. I do. I really do. You guys are so fun. Angie, I think we need to schedule you back again. Come back and do this again.
I would love to.
Right now, we're scheduled through March.
Okay.
So it'll be April. I'll have to, well, actually, anytime in April, any Thursday in April, we are open. So check your calendar.
I would love it. Okay.
Just think how nervous you are. It is. But it's being with like-minded people.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. That's right.
All right, I'm going to push this exit before Blog Talk kicks me out. I love you guys.
Okay.
It was great.
Love you, too.
Fun.
Nice meeting you, Gene. Thank you.
Nice
fun.
Meeting
Thank
you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for hosting me. Thank you so much.
I never told Gene I loved you before.
I will see you around online for sure.
Gina, took to another level, baby.
All righty.
Bye.
Excellent. Good night, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Good night.
Night.
Good night. Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.